welcome to the show. It's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here. Let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online. It's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Stream Show. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
So welcome to the Brother Streep Show. What this is, it's a live podcast, and I say live in the loose terms. It's just live as in we're doing it to more people than just ourselves. Normally, it's just Dylan and myself in a room with another guy called Andrew, but you guys get to be the audience. So make some noise, audience. Yes, awesome. We've come to interrupt your pleasant afternoon in the Standard Bank tent, trying desperately to access the Wi-Fi that no one seems to be able to get onto. Have you tried to get onto that Wi-Fi? You're on it. How did you get? I had to answer questions about my pets and all sorts of weird things before they would let me on.
What is your favorite style of jazz?
I don't know.
Anyway, today we have a special guest. We're going to be chatting to this lovely lady over here called Louise Rie, who's busy doing a show here at the festival called It's Only Birds. Could you please welcome to the stage Louise Rie? All right, we're excited. This is the first time we've had a international guest on the show, so
would you like to take a seat? We've even organized seats.
We buy our guests coffee when we do it at the coffee shop, but then they have to sit on an uncomfortable seat, whereas now you get a comfy
good seat,
no coffee.
I kind of would have preferred the coffee.
Do you think so?
Fair enough.
Yeah, maybe, just kidding. Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thanks for coming.
It's good to have you on the show. Now please tell us, how have you been enjoying our beautiful country?
So much fun. Lovely audiences here. Okay. Like really warm and like generous audiences compared to in the UK. It's like really reserved, kind of like this kind of thing. And here I feel like they kind of I always play music before my show, like, you know, Rockin' Robin by the Jackson 5. Like and here like people walk in dancing and stuff. It's like such a good vibe. Yeah, it's so rad. They're like tweet 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 before the show even started.
We should steal that for our show, because people don't walk into our show dancing.
No.
They walk in with a
they
sense
walk in
of,
bewildered.
Yeah, with a sense of like trepidation of what might follow.
I think my favorite thing about the audiences this year is how forgiving they've been at the times we've messed up.
Yeah, I can say that. I can say the same, yeah, for sure.
Now, so for those who haven't seen Louise's show, what's quite interesting about it is she does the entire show in Mandarin, if I'm correct.
Yep, this is correct.
And how did you learn Mandarin? Because I don't want to stereotype, but you don't look like you would know Mandarin.
It's very rude.
That pause.
I'm quite offended. I always wish I had a really exciting story to say. Yeah. Like, I was kidnapped by pirates on the South China Sea. But I just went to university.
Okay.
I studied it. So I had like 3 years of university in London, and then I had a year of university in Beijing.
Okay.
And then I went to, I used to work in finance and wear a suit all like every day when I was like 22. It was 2 weeks ago. No. I used to have like a past life where I worked in finance in Beijing, and I ran a team of Chinese women and wore a suit. It's like really funny to think of this now.
Right.
So that's when I really learned Chinese.
Okay.
Because you realize if you're like reading like Chinese poetry and stuff, you then go to work in a Chinese office and you're like, how do you say, please email me the attachment? Or like photocopy this or something. You don't know how to say anything that you actually need.
No, you learned Chinese first. And then were you like, I've got to do something with this now? Was that what led you to go seek a job out?
It's not very useful. What shall I do?
Yeah.
No, the opposite. It's been like a really organic kind of like evolution. So I first did stand up when I was 16 years old. I think I was one of those like weird kids. I was actually like really, really shy. Mm. Then suddenly when I was 16, I became like really like, and it was like, Wheezy, you found yourself. Like, you're so strange. I first did stand up when I was 16, and then I stopped when I was 18. And then I did all this Chinese stuff and business stuff. And then when I was 24, I started to do stand-up again. And this has been like an evolution ever since. And I've done a lot of mime training and clown training.
Mm.
And then I was also a documentary maker for the BBC for a long time.
Oh,
and documentary making is all about non-verbal communication. So we always think we're in control of what we're saying. I mean, I certainly don't think that now, but I think generally in life, like, one kind of likes to think that we're in control of what we're communicating.
Yeah.
And certainly when you're filming someone for a documentary, they think that they are the one in control. And then they turn to the camera and like move one eyebrow, and suddenly that said 1,000 words that they didn't even realize, you know, that they'd done. Right. So like from this, I got really into nonverbal communication, and then I realized it would be possible to make a show in Chinese that you could understand even if you didn't know Chinese.
The question is, how do you go back from a show that's completely in Chinese to an English show? Isn't that going to feel very boring for you?
No, the opposite.
You could do that in your sleep.
The opposite. My newest show is in English and it's lovely. You can just say what you want. Like, it's so great.
Surely the opposite is true. In your show now, you can say absolutely anything to the crowd, to their face, like the most ridiculous, heinous things.
But it has no meaning.
Never know.
Then it's not meaningful, though.
Well, it must be fun for you, though.
Yeah, I'm secretly just like ugly, bad t-shirt, nice hair. Like, no, at all, not at all.
Okay. You've been performing now in a country which has a lot of languages.
Yeah, 11, right?
Have you been tempted to kind of just pick up another one? While you're here, just pick up another language.
I'm desperate to learn, but I just can't. The programming of this festival is so intense. I've done... The past 24 hours, I did this show, It's Only Birds, 3 times in 20 hours. Wow. 4 p.m., 10 p.m., the next day, midday. This is not normal.
What I do like is that the festival's only 11 days and you've thought you can learn one of our languages in 11 days.
No, I didn't at all. But I have no mental capacity to like absorb other stuff at all. Like I walk around like a zombie. My poor brother's with me taking the show and he just has to like take me on a lead like around. Like, and because I'm like so tired. But I've picked up one word, okay. Mbala. That means boy, right?
Crowd, help us out.
Does
Mbala,
that mean boy?
It means boy.
The only other language I know, Sien means boy, but that's only, you know, there's still another 10 languages to account for.
That's the second obvious language that we might know. Have you absorbed any of the food here yet?
Yeah, I've eaten quite a lot of steak.
Brilliant.
Ooh, that's
you
good.
Guys have a lot, like really good beef here, right?
That's we like do, yeah. It's kind of our thing.
It's kind of your thing. It's kind of your thing. Yeah. But I have to eat like really carefully. Like I'm really boring. I eat like a lot of salad and stuff like because of my shows. So I can't like enjoy this. So I kind of can't eat that much.
Because there's a really good chow mein down that way if you want to eat.
I saw this Dragon Pearl.
If you want to eat appropriate
to
your
show. I'm quite excited about this. On the last day, maybe I need to buy it for the audience.
Is Dragon Pearl a specific thing that is exciting to you? Because I didn't know what it was.
No, I just saw it on the way in and I was like, oh, Chinese food. Oh, I just clocked it.
I thought maybe it was like, Dragon Pearl, that's everywhere around the world and I'm really excited.
No. Oh, yeah, it's like a thing, guys. Dragon Pearl, yeah, it's so special.
No one would know.
Yeah, no one's told you about it yet.
Kudu, though. I tried kudu.
Okay. Yes.
Am I saying it right?
You are. Kudu. Yeah, it's a little perfect. Shorter on the what? First. Ooh.
Kudu.
Kudu.
And are you? I mean, have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, but what is it?
It's like a big buck.
Yeah.
What's a buck?
It's like a cow.
It's like a thin cow with longer horns.
What is it like a deer? Like a stag?
Yes, like a deer or a stag.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Like a stag.
Like a stag.
This.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Got it.
Oh, so it's like venison.
Yeah, it is venison.
Well, anything's
venison, really.
Anything that's not beef is venison.
Yeah, pretty much.
No. There's also chicken.
All right, yes.
I wouldn't be surprised if they try parcel some chickens as venison. You know, the ones that have been in the freezer for a very long time. Yeah.
Sure.
They've already changed color.
When you can't call it chicken anymore, you start calling it venison.
Yeah. Kudu. Yeah. Hey, but what about warthogs? Because I was so lucky to go on a game drive here.
Oh, cool.
And I saw warthogs, which are like my new favorite animal. They're cute,
so cute.
And they're always in a family.
Yeah.
There's always like a little
they're
one.
They're always in a family and now you want to eat one.
No. I just wondered if there was a... any knocking around that I could.
Oh.
They look kind of fat. It will be good.
I've heard good things about warthogs. I haven't eaten one myself.
That's but you don't.
I'm more of a family man. That's why.
Oh, so. Yeah. But I feel like you guys don't have like pork here, really.
Pork?
No, we do.
Oh,
have
we've
pork.
Got pork. You just got to look in the right places.
But I had a sausage roll and it was beef.
Yeah, we don't really do the pork sausage roll, though. What you need to do is...
We do the venison sausage roll, the kudu sausage roll.
Yeah, okay.
You need to go to the Rat and Parrot. They have...
Oh, I need to go to the Rat and Parrot.
Yeah, they'll definitely have pork there. Now, your show, for those... Who has seen Only Birds? Make some noise.
Woo!
Okay, perfect. We've got some people. The rest of you really do have to go see this show. It is fascinating. Now, I'm not going to give too much away, because obviously... we want people to see it for themselves.
Well, it's different every day, so you can say whatever you want. I never know what's going to happen, so that's okay.
Well, why don't you give a small synopsis and then we'll start asking you some more questions.
So my show's totally in Chinese, but for people that don't speak any Chinese at all, but you can understand the whole show because it's an experiment in non-verbal communication. So only 7% of communication's verbal, so it's an experiment in the other 93%. So this is kind of like the thing. It's not really about the Chinese at all. I couldn't perform it in China. I'd have to do the show in like French if I took it to China. So they can be like a real experiment. So the idea is, if I speak Chinese to you, the only thing we have is like my eyebrows or like my face or what I'm doing with my body. Yeah. So this is like the challenge.
Yeah. Now, but what's great about it is you get the audience involved, which is a big part of your show.
Well, not everyone thinks it's great, but like, it depends on who I pick.
Well, what I liked about it is that it was very much like you would find someone and basically you'll bring them up onto the stage and then you'll kind of get them to be part of the story you're telling.
Yeah.
I think that's the easiest way to say it without giving stuff away. But I want to know how do you choose your, you must have now developed some sort of vetting process of who you're going to pull up.
Okay. So in previous shows, I've picked 4 people out of the show. So then if one of them's like bad or it doesn't work, it's like a special alchemy that we create, like a chemistry together.
Yeah.
And it's really high risk with this show because I just pick one. So there's so much pressure on this guy and me also to make it work with this guy, however they are.
Yeah.
And with improvised stuff, when it works, it's like magical because this is like a glass smashing on the floor. It can never be repeated. This is a special thing. Only us in this room are having this moment. Truly, it can never happen again.
Yeah.
But then when it's more difficult, it's much harder to control because it's such high risk. So it is what it is. It's like the nature of the art, if you like.
Do you have like a quick out? Because I imagine there must be times when you pull someone up onto stage and you know from the instant that they sort of try to do something that they're going to be trouble, either too enthusiastic or not enthusiastic enough.
Yeah, but it's my job to pick and it's the right person, which is something I'm always looking at the audience the whole time and trying to make sure I pick the right person. And then also, it's my job to make it work however they are. So if they're too much, I can be like, whoa. And then if they're not enough, I can be like, go, you know, then I can. So it's like a balance. Yeah. So But it's very, very, very demanding mentally. I have to be absolutely present in the room. I am like a ghost when I leave. I'm like, it's so draining because the level of like attention, if it wanders for a moment, like my brother who's taking the show, he's like, oh, you weren't in it in the orchestra. Your mind wandered. I'm like, hey, you know, like it's such
family,
a mental
the
thing.
Harshest critic.
Yeah, I know, brother. But you know, he's so right though. It's like absolutely this the presence.
Yeah,
oh, I mean, so tough.
The show that we saw, I think the guy came up. I think his name was Ian, if I remember correctly. He was just great. He was game for everything you were doing, and you kept pushing it further and further.
Oh,
and
Ian,
I kept thinking,
this was the first show.
Was it your first show with Ian?
Maybe.
Ian, the married man who was,
quite really
keen
nice.
To put it out there that he was a married man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I felt so embarrassed for his wife. Yeah. That's so awkward.
It was amazing. She was just filming the whole thing.
Oh, yeah?
Ransom.
Yeah. This is so dangerous. There's a lot of pictures of babies on the internet from my show. Like,
yes.
Scary.
Babies with large heads.
Yeah.
That'll make sense if you see the show.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you got involved in documentaries. How did that all come about?
So I had my flurry in business in China. Then I realized I wasn't motivated by money. So actually to wear a suit wasn't like good for me because also look at my hair. Like it just looks so dumb in a suit. It's like I never look smart. I just can't achieve this biologically. So I just realized this wasn't quite right. So then I went to do work experience at the BBC where, because I had this long time interest in comedy since doing stand up as a kid.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. I'm like really interested in comedy from when I was a child. And then I also got a business mindset because I've been working in Beijing. So yeah, I should work in comedy commissioning, which you guys know commissioning is the people that choose who to give the money to. For comedy on the BBC. So I was just like this, like so gobby and got into the BBC comedy commissioning department.
That's awesome.
And then when I was there, I realized that there aren't many Chinese speakers working in TV. Yeah. So then anytime you have to make a documentary about Chinese people or about China, they kind of need people like me.
Yeah.
So it was like really neat and easy to get work in such a tough industry. So this was just like basically everything good that's happened in my life has come from learning Chinese.
It just feels like I needed to start learning Chinese. I mean,
yeah. It's really, really random. And I was such an idiot. I mean, guilty still. it was ever thus. But I was particularly such an idiot as a teenager where we were like a host family, you know, like when you have foreign students coming to stay. Mm. In my hometown, Brighton, we have a huge like foreign student population. So my parents are like real like hippie types. And we used to host these foreign students and we'd have these dinners. I've got millions of siblings anyway. And we'd have these like massive dinners where there'd be like three Chinese teenagers, like an Austrian guy, a lady from Germany, and just like three Mexicans, like really random. Like loads of people, and so it was always like the Chinese ones that I found most fascinating. We literally had a like this teenager from China called Angel that only drank hot water and stuff like this. When I was a teenager, I was like, what the hell? So this is why I learned Chinese. Like I had no idea that the economy would blow up, and it was before all of this. I wasn't like a freak kid reading The Economist or like having all this like, you know, like omniscience. So this was just like very, very serendipitous and lucky.
Yeah. Mm.
It could have been Bengali for all the thought I put into it.
And living that side of the world, I know I've had a few people that have done things that side, and they just say that the culture is just totally different. What were the kind of big culture shock things that you experienced?
Oh man, it's so tough because you only find out through making the mistakes.
Yeah.
I used to do business training. I used to teach people how to do business in Chinese when I was like 22. It's really funny. And then I would go around the country just like making mistakes all the time. Like it's so often. But like something that really stayed in my mind is we always think that if we're being, usually, oh, I'll go there and I'll be respectful. It will be fine. I'm going to be respectful. But respect means different things depending on where you are. So I had this like horrendous thing where I had to collect these clients that have flown into China from the airport. And the driver was a middle-aged Chinese man. We call it like a lao tozi. That's like this kind of classic middle-aged Chinese man with like a big tummy kind of guy. Like really stout. And I was like a young woman. And so they had all this luggage. And in the UK, as a young woman, I wouldn't be the one hauling big baggage around. You'd get the big guy to do it. But the Chinese big guy was so offended that I assumed he would be doing the luggage that he complained to my office about me. And I got in so much trouble. And there, age trumps like gender. So as like the young person, I should have been hauling the luggage around while the big man was just like, you know, this kind of thing. I was like, how could I know that? Like, that's such a genuinely, I was just like, I'm so mortified. I literally went the next day and was like, I'm so sorry, man. Like, we don't do it like this in my country. I respect you so much. Like, and it's like, you made him lose face in front of these clients that he didn't even know. You know, and you're like, they're my clients. I don't really get why you care. So like, it was just so like, it was so, I still feel in physical pain thinking about this like mortification, but yeah, it's like terribly difficult. So yeah, this is just like relentlessly happening all the time.
Well, I recently went to Thailand and found out that there's a greeting that is quite common there, and depending on like how you say it or who you're with is depending on how you say the greeting. And so like if you're with an older person, it might be this, or the opposite gender might be that, or the occupation might change it. And so eventually, and this is like how you say hello, I thought it's easier to be rude. It's just easier to not really acknowledge
just
people.
Blanket rude to everyone as opposed to really offending one.
Just don't talk. Don't talk to anyone. Don't touch any bags. That's true, because they call like, so if you're like a manager, you have to call them like Manager Wong. Yeah. You can't call them Mr. Wong. You have to, it's really funny. Imagine if they were like, Comedian Simon, like I don't know, like this kind of thing. It's like
sounds
kind of
cool.
Yeah, I know. Like, yeah,
I'll take that.
That's perfect. How have you found your accommodation when you've been here? Have they set you up in a
really
nice place?
Really rad. Or? We had no idea what to expect. We had no information. We just turned up and then just like there was a guy with a piece of paper with someone else's name on in the airport. And we were like, no, I think we're meant to be in your minibus. He was like, I don't think you are. I was like, no, we are. And because it said like National Arts Festival. So we just like totally blagged because we didn't have any info.
Was it Stephen K. Amos written on the table?
Yeah, he's my
chance.
Friend. Like, yeah. So we just, this actually happened and it turned out to be the Soils minibus, but arranged by the National Arts Festival. This, by the way, is why I learned the word Mbala that's meant to mean boy, because she was calling the driver boy. Okay. Anyway, and he was like an old guy, an old man. It was right. Like a joke, but whatever. Yeah. So accommodation, yeah, we had no idea what to expect. We're in the university accommodation. It's really nice. And
does it have water? Because this is
they have water.
This is
oh
the
my
kind
God.
Of time you have to ask that kind of thing. It's possible to be here and not have water. not have a fridge, not have a microwave.
Yeah, well, I'm terribly sorry to hear that. Like that, this is very difficult for people living here. Surely there's not enough infrastructure.
This is the
B&Bs.
This is
or even in B&Bs as well. Yeah, this is tough, man. I heard it's actually not a water, not because of a lack of water, but because of a lack of government infrastructure building it to distribute the water properly or something like that, which is clearly incredibly difficult for people that are living here. So
yeah, it's a bit of a tricky time.
Our clouds are having a bit of performance anxiety. They're not, not really raining as much
they've
as
gone on a sabbatical.
This is your winter. What? It's so hot.
Like, yeah, you must have been kind of warned that it would be really cold in Grahamstown, and then
cold for Africa from the UK people. This is like the hottest. It's so hot.
It is very hot. So now the show that you're performing, you've performed, I take it, in the UK.
I have only performed this show once in the UK. This show is an evolution. So I...
Where along the ladder of evolution are we?
It's like an experiment. So it's always changing because you need it to be fresh and that this feeling of like we're playing with the unknown. So I if it gets too stale, like I change stuff every couple of days.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a really fun change tonight. I'm so excited. It makes it exciting again. Yeah. So it has to have this like freshness. So I'm kind of like evolving this all the time, like over the years. So I first did an hour long show in Chinese in 2015 in Edinburgh. And that was called It's Only Words. You see?
Okay.
And then I did a second hour in Chinese that was totally different called Que Sera Si La. And then this is the third incarnation, which is like a mixture of the first and the second.
The best of.
That's like the best of, if you know what I mean. Although, but God, how awful were the others if one says that. But so this is kind of like evolving. Yeah.
And okay. So you say you've done Edinburgh. We were lucky enough to convince a trampoline company in 2010 to give us sponsorship to go to Edinburgh.
Are you being serious?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
A trampolining company for some reason thought that we would be good enough to go. And we weren't. We really weren't. But they sent us anyway. So we kind of learnt the festival scene actually by doing Edinburgh. And
Jesus Christ. Really?
The company was called Spring Free Trampolines.
Yeah. So why did they sponsor you?
Well, we just wrote a cool song for them.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, 100%.
This is so 100%. Legendary. You're like entrepreneurs.
No, well, we had done something that had been picked up on one of your guys' big talk shows, and they had seen it, and we thought, okay, they've want us to do a song. And we thought, rather than giving us money, why don't you just fly us over so that we can play it to two people every day in the month of August. So that's kind of what we did.
It's the largest in the world, so it's very tough to get an audience. Yeah. So actually, if you manage to do a run at Edinburgh where you don't cancel any shows, this is actually really good.
Okay.
That they say the average audience number in Edinburgh is like six.
That sounds about right.
But I mean,
that would have been a luxury.
Actually, it's like really skewed by the people that just had one and cancelled loads of shows because there's still tons of like shows with massive audiences because they have like 2 million people flying into the city just for the festival.
Mm.
And how, I mean, because Edinburgh, for those who don't know, Edinburgh is not just 11 days of amazing. Edinburgh is pretty much a whole month.
Mm.
How have you found doing a whole month's worth of shows every day? Same venue, normally same time. That's just, I mean, we found it pretty exhausting, but we were...
Especially the walk from where we were staying to the venue. That was very exhausting.
Oh, was it up a hill?
It was.
Always a hill.
Luckily, everything was so new to us when we did it that we just like got energized by seeing loads of shows. But you know, you've grown up with a lot of the fellow comedians that you're performing with. For you, it must be draining.
Actually, you know what? This is the toughest festival I've ever done because your programming is 3-hour-long shows in 20 hours. Are you trying to make me have a nervous breakdown?
To be honest, I think they're just trying to make...
One a day is like luxury. I'm like, how relaxing. Let's go to KFC. This is just like... I saw Tony Lancaster, you know, the head of the festival last night.
Yeah.
And he was like, what have you seen? And I was just like, seen? Watching shows? Like, all I do is work here. What are you trying to do to me? Just kidding, but like, this is because you guys have different shows at different times every day. You can't get into a rhythm of it because it's so physical and so psychological. Other festivals around the world, often you have the same show every day at the same time.
Boring.
So then you have your routine.
We mix it up.
No, it's really good. So, you know, like it is what it is and everyone has their reasons for doing it, how they do it.
Yeah.
But like, my God, I'm so exhausted by this. But Yeah.
Do you stay on after the festival in South Africa at all, or are you shooting?
I so wish, man. I planned this so badly. Oh God, what a waste. Because the country's so beautiful and I'm just having so much fun here. But I have my last show tomorrow, and then I fly out on Sunday.
Okay, not gonna pop around Cape Town. I mean,
I would that I could. I mean, I messed this up, right? I should have got a credit card and just done a luxury week of elephants.
Well, you did a game drive, you say?
Yeah, man, so lucky. Oh,
that's
wow,
pretty good.
Thank you. Yeah, it was really rad. And actually, I'm gonna go again on safari on Saturday. Actually, if anyone knows any guys that can take me on safari on Saturday, please let me know, because I haven't booked it yet.
Yeah, that was nice. I'm going on safari on Saturday. Okay, yeah. Next thing.
Do you
Does
know
anyone
any
know
safari?
About safari?
I feel like I would like to.
I know how sometimes guys can be. That was a genuine request. It wasn't a pickup line.
Like,
it wasn't
serious,
like safari in inverted commas.
Can you call your uncle? yeah. But actually, Edinburgh is like really soon. It's like 2 weeks away, and I have to go to Norway for like 10 days before I go there. So
you're doing Edinburgh this year?
Yeah, so I'm back in the UK for 3 days, and then I'm going to Norway for 10 days, and then like...
Is that to learn another language?
Yeah, I pick up some Norwegian. and then, like 4 days after that is Edinburgh, so it's pretty crazy.
Great, and you're at The Stand, I think, in Edinburgh this year.
Yeah, The Stand Comedy
Club. I did some research.
Yeah, man, I'm so impressed.
I did too, but I forgot my notebook.
Unacceptable.
Yeah,
sorry. And you forgot the coffee. God, this guy. How do you cope?
Oh, it's difficult. Tell me about it. All right, so what we often do with our guests is we all have quick fire questions, and we normally have two guests on the show, but we thought Louise is such a great guest, we should just have one so we could spend the bulk of the time finding out more about you.
Well,
but that does mean there's more pressure on you now.
Sorry, man, I've just been droning on. Like, no, I like words. It's a problem.
It's all great. So I'm going to ask you questions, but you'd normally compete against another guest, but now you're just going to compete against Dylan.
Against me?
Yeah. So,
I could win this.
You've done this before, right?
I could win the Louise Ray quiz.
Yeah.
By the way, my name's pronounced Louise Ray. I forgot to tell you.
Ray.
Oh, Ray.
Yeah, it's pronounced Ray, like, hey.
Why have you snuck in extra letters then?
Oh, it's so annoying. It's a Scottish name.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, I didn't write my name.
No, I mean, fair enough. My surname is Van Wyk, and I'm not really Afrikaans, so a lot of people just think I'm Van Wyk, which is a bit annoying.
Van Wyk.
It's not a great surname.
Yeah.
All right, so Louise, and you also, you can play along.
I'm in.
Wait, what's Dylan's surname?
His surname.
It's Hichon.
It's actually
it's no, Hitchens it's we Hitchens. Pronounce it, but I imagine
Hichon.
The UK French kind of connection.
This is like do you guys know Hyacinth Bouquet?
No.
There's a Keeping Up Appearances, this TV show. Do you have this? So there's a woman called Hyacinth Bucket, and she calls herself Hyacinth Bouquet because she's really pretentious.
Oh, there we go. It works perfectly.
Hichon.
Hichon.
It's Hitchens, though.
Yeah.
Do you actually pronounce it Hichon?
No.
but that's I think I might. Delon, so that's all.
I might from now on.
Oh, that's so funny. Imagine if you did, then I just mocked you. Sorry. Okay, you didn't save.
It's fine. Louise Rie. All right, so you ready, Dil?
I'm ready.
You ready, Louise? All right, let's go. What is the largest living bird?
Ostrich.
Okay, that's...
What's that one in Jurassic Park?
Jurassic Park?
Yeah, the pterodactyl one. That thing, that looked huge.
Yeah,
I said living bird. I've screwed it up.
Yeah,
I've lost the first point.
Already you're leaps and bounds ahead here. You got a ride with ostrich. I would have also accepted Big Bird from Sesame Street.
Oh, nice.
Because he is pretty big. Would you rather have a wireless mouse, a wireless printer, or a wireless kettle?
Wireless kettle.
All right. Dylan?
I'm going to go with the wireless mouse because sometimes it's nice to lie in bed and move the computer from where you're lying.
Yeah,
I don't have a TV in my room, but I do have a computer.
That's good.
So that's
no, you need wireless kettle so you don't die from electrocution when you fill it up.
No, wireless kettle is the right answer.
Is it the right answer?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like you're pandering to the
guest here. It is what I had written down here. Okay. There are definitive answers to these questions. I know it doesn't sound
official
like there
answers.
Are, but there definitely are.
I love how on the second question you're like, you're pandering to the guest. Like the second question.
Yeah.
It means a lot. It really means a lot.
He just loves points. He's just a point hungry man.
You can win if you want. It's okay. Like, I'm okay with it. I don't need it.
A lot, and there's a lot of quizzing, and it gets very competitive between Simon and I.
All right.
So I guess that's just spilling over onto this one.
Do you dunk your biscuits in tea?
Yes.
I don't like tea.
Whoa.
Okay, that can't be a point, surely.
Yeah, that's sorry.
That's like a cardinal sin against Simon.
How can you not like tea?
Well, number one, I'm from the UK and people drink it all the time and it's just brown water and I don't get it.
No, but you also moved to China.
Yeah,
where
well, I was
they
forced to drink tea.
Tea
all the time. And there's green water. Like,
all right.
We have some brown water here in Grahamstown, but it's not tea.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it's bad. It was spilling out of a urinal, actually.
Man,
it's not
such a thing
for
you
good.
Guys.
All right. Have you ever fell off a bike?
Of course, I'm only human.
Right.
That sounds good. I have, and I've got a scar under my chin to prove it.
All right. I can't see the scar, so I'm not giving you a point for that.
It's the point where the beard doesn't grow. It's very awkward.
Fair enough. All right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
the correct answer is yes. So you actually both get a point there.
Sweet.
I had done my research very thoroughly and known that both of you had fallen off bikes. So that's points to me actually as well. What was your first tweet? What was your first tweet?
I don't remember. That was like 5 years ago. Are you insane?
Remember, I might have it written down here.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay. Oh my God.
You
got to
think about it. Dylan, while Louise thinks.
Yes. Have you written mine down?
I might have.
Ooh, that's
tricky. Wait, do you know yours?
I don't know. But I don't tweet at all, so I've probably got about 90 to think
your,
of.
Your only tweet? No.
Whereas yeah. yours, I imagine, is like up in the thousands. How do people tweet that much?
I don't know. I don't really like Twitter, but you know, you kind of feel like you have to do it.
Does a retweet count as a tweet? Because that's a lazy way to get the numbers up.
Oh, yeah, true.
Maybe I'll do that.
What?
I don't know. Maybe it's like, oh, I'm on this thing. I wish there were more characters.
Okay, all right.
I feel like I actually need to try, and this is like hurting my brain. I actually really want to know, like, I really want to remember what was my first tweet. Probably like, hello, Twitter?
All right, so I can reveal that I didn't do my research enough to look at you guys' first tweets, so I'm just going to give you points anyway. But you're
a point
for each
is
nothing.
Like a point for none.
No, okay, to be fair, I did try scroll down on the Twitter to see the first tweets, but it was just taking a long time and I had other things to get to. So
right, we've got a lot of shows yeah. too.
I feel like. Teased.
You might not know this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What is Alan Committee's deepest, darkest secret?
I met Alan Committee last night. He wears a nice suit. I think his darkest secret could be many things. I don't know. Maybe he's transgender.
All right. That's an interesting thing to say.
We have
about
asked every guest this one, so we're collating the answers.
Yeah. We're having him on the
nice
show tomorrow morning.
Dossier so on Alan Committee.
Everyone will be quizzed.
Tell him
about
I told him. I said that one.
I will. I definitely will.
And it means nothing.
All right. Are you going to come watch the Brothers Streep, same Streep, different day, tomorrow at 11 p.m.?
Ooh, 11 p.m. Possibly.
All right, Dylan.
Okay, I'm going to say I'll wait for the answer because I'm in that one. It feels unfair.
Yeah.
I feel like I should say yes out of courtesy. Yeah, right, definitely. Okay. I actually can't wait to come. 11 p.m. tomorrow, right? Rad. I'm so excited.
Awesome. Well, Louise, unfortunately, got the answer wrong because our show is at 2:30 tomorrow. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
You're falling into our trap.
That was a trick question.
And a plug for our show at the same time.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Have you ever held a snake?
I have held. I have held. I have hugged many a snake.
You've hugged a snake.
Hugged a
I
snake.
I mean, I absolutely find them horribly on. Like, it's not a thing I enjoy.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you go to Morocco, they just put them on you.
That sounds
and then
like
they
a
ask for money. You're
terrible
like, I will
thing.
Pay you to take it off. Absolutely, like, good idea. Business
it's like
model.
Going to
like
Hawaii and getting a flower necklace, but they just chuck a snake over your
neck. Yeah, it's terrifying.
And
it's
sometimes
really
the snakes
odd.
Hug back. I've heard.
Yeah,
not,
really, really
it's
tight.
Not good.
Yeah.
All right, so you have Dylan.
I have, but it was when I was really young, and they came to the school.
All right, I'm going to give you both points for that because that's a traumatic thing to go through, and I think the points might soften
the blow.
Yeah,
thanks.
All right, would you rather live in the world of Twin Peaks or be twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Twins with Arnie.
All right,
I'm going to say live in the world of Twin Peaks.
Would you really want to live?
Oh,
in
Oh, it's so vast and confusing. It's basically like this world, except with like more smoke and noise.
Okay, well, I'm giving Louise the points. Because
but if you're twins with Arnie, you have to look like Danny DeVito. That's the catch.
Oh my God. I thought it was identical twins. Like, no.
Don't you remember
actually,
twins?
Danny DeVito is such a good clown. It would be a gift if I looked like Danny DeVito. I actually wish my life would be so much easier if I looked like Danny DeVito, actually.
You've mentioned clowns now twice in this
You're a big clown fan.
I am a clown.
Yeah, but
Maybe for the audience.
Who do they think they're talking to?
What is the definition of a clown in your mind? Because often the stereotypical clown, circus clown, bucket of water, no, it's not kind of thing.
Well, look, this is like, I don't know, like, this maybe not very interesting, but this is like just a history of clown thing.
I want to hear.
So most people just know the, like, the circus clowns, red nose, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But actually, like, in the 60s, I feel so pretentious. Guilty.
Pichon.
Pichon. In the 1960s in Paris, there was like a big theatre movement of clown where they just invented a new kind of clown. It's not like the circus clown thing. And it's very much about like your relationship with the audience and in the moment and the game that you're playing and building something with the audience and blah, blah, blah. Like this stuff that I do. It's like, hey, clown. This kind of clown. Yeah, yeah. So I'm a clown. But clown is like a dirty word, right? It's not helpful to say it because nobody knows what it means. They think it means the circus clown.
Yeah, they either think circus clown or they think Stephen King's It, and none of those really necessarily get at the art form.
Terrifying or just hilariously not funny.
Yeah, Chucky. Is it Chucky or is that a dolly?
Chucky's
there's
a little
dolly.
There's
some like evil clowns and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of evil clowns. Well, you had that big problem in the UK a while back with people dressing up as like evil clowns or just hanging out in woods.
Oh my God.
Did you get involved in that where you're like, oh, this looks fun.
I love clowning, me.
British people are so strange. Did you guys hear about this? You know this, that people dress as like an evil clown and then they just hid in a bush and jumped out. It's like so psychotic.
Yeah.
I was really tempted to do it. I just saw it'd be so much fun. And I was telling my mom, like, I was like, yeah, mom, I think I'm going to do it. It'd be so funny. But she was just like, Louise, like, it's a crime. Like, well, yeah. I don't know. Because people took like knives and stuff. Like, it wasn't just like, hey, hey, hey. Yeah. Like, they really, really scared
took it
people.
A little
like,
too far.
It was really weird. Yeah.
I mean, we just can't relate because imagine living in a country where the worst crime you could do is just dress up as a clown and hang out in the woods.
Yeah.
Like, we've got far worse things to worry about.
It's not the worst crime, but it's pretty odd, it's don't you think?
All right. Name two other famous Louises.
But I'm the only one. Oh, no, I'm not even famous. Oh, no. Oh, God, I can't think of any.
This is actually genuinely very difficult. When I wrote this question, I was like, is there actually anyone that's famous who's named Louise other than, obviously, Louise?
This question feels slightly weighted towards you as well.
I'm not famous. I couldn't say this, but... okay. The reason is because everyone cool called Louise changes their name to something else, like Lulu. That's what I should have done. Like, Lulu Ray is so much cooler.
Lulu.
And my life would be so different if I looked like Danny DeVito and was called Lulu, for God's sake. Yeah, so Lulu, the pop star Lulu.
Okay,
this is
pop
why.
Star Lulu. I mean...
And then also, like,
well, following that logic, can I have Lou Baker?
I was about to say Lou Baker because it's a guy. His name's not Louise. His name's Louis.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I mean, I don't want to be a stickler for the rules here, but I asked for two famous people called Louise, and you both gave me people that aren't called Louise.
Okay, Louise Vuitton. How about that?
That's so cheating. That's so cheating.
I would have accepted Louise Fletcher, Louise Brooks, Louise Redknapp, Louise Cliff, Louise Lasser, Louise Minchin, Louise Jamison, Louise Bagan, Louise Eldridge, Louise Thompson, Louise Vaillant, Louise Brower, Louise Glover, Louise Ray, Louise Germain, Louise Roby, Louise Bourgeon, Louise Beavers, Louise Mandrel, Louise Bourgeon, Louise Gold, Louise Peterson, Louise Black, Louise Glam, Louise Hay, Louise Post, Louise Hazel, Louise Valence, Louise Pete, Louise Suggs, Louise Kolick, Louise Vazenda, Louise Fosling, Louise Campbell, Louise Lear, Louise... Do you know what? I have a load. I'm not going to go through them all, but there are lots of famous Louises that no one's heard of.
No, go through them all. We're loving this. Like, how did you like Wikipedia this? It's
of
so crazy.
Course I Wikipedia that.
I haven't heard of any of those Louises.
No, me neither. Although
your name was slipped in there, I think. I think I heard it.
Yeah, but you probably said it wrong. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, he did.
we have a Louise Carver. She's South African and she does music.
Yeah,
I mean, Louise Day. She also does music. So we
Louise Day.
Yes. Yeah.
Huh.
Do you know her?
No, it just rhymes with my name. Sorry.
No, it's not DA.
My name's Ray. We've been through this.
Anyways, that's more or less all the time we have for today's show. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Louise Ray.
Thanks for having me.
If you enjoy,
only birds.
It's only
7
birds.
7 p.m. tonight, 10:30 a.m. tomorrow. Please come.
That's good.
Like, don't talk like this the whole show. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Pleasure.
Bye.
I like the singing there. We could get her in the band, and then just turn her mic off.
This has been the Brothers Street Show. Thank you very much. We'll be back to our normal place at Revelations Coffee Bar, where you can listen and have breakfast. Yeah. So that's the big difference of that one.
Indeed. All right. Cheers, everyone.
Bye. Bye.